in search of a solution, I finally stepped in dread out of the cabin and made my way to the deck. I told myself that what I needed, was fresh air. In fact, I was motivated by a need to know how the crew would receive me. The ship was still adrift. No wind had caught our sails. The decks once more appeared deserted. My first thought was that the crew had fled. All I heard was the soft flutter of canvas, the clinking of chain, the heaving of boat timbers. It was as if the engines of the world itself had ground to a halt. But when I looked to the quarterdeck, I did see the crew. Heads bowed, they were standing together quietly. Then I heard the deep voice of Fisk, though exactly what he was saying I could not at first make out. Hollybrass, I saw, was standing somewhat apart from the men, his dark eyes watching intently. There was a pistol in his hand, but in no way was he interfering with them. Timidly, I climbed the steps to the quarterdeck for a better look. Now I realized that the crew was clustered around something. It looked to be a sack that lay upon the deck. On closer examination, I realized it was a canvas hammock such as the men slept in. This one was twisted around itself and had an odd, bulky shape. No one took notice of me as I stood by the forward rail. Gradually, I perceived that Fisk was saying a prayer. In a flash, I understood. The hammock was wrapped about a body, and that body had to be Zachariah's. He had died of the beating. I had come upon his funeral. The men were about to commit his body to the sea. Fisk's prayer was not a long one, but he delivered it slowly, and what I heard of it was laced with bitterness, a calling on God to avenge them as they, poor sailors, could not avenge themselves. When Fisk had done, Ewing, Mr. Keach, Grimes, and Johnson bent over and picked the hammock up. Hardly straining at the weight they bore, they advanced to the starboard railing, and then, emitting a kind of grunt in unison, they heaved their burden over. Seconds later there was a splash, followed by murmurs of, "Amen. Amen." I shuddered. Fisk said a final short prayer. At last they all turned about and saw me. I was unable to move. They were staring at me with what I could only take as loathing. I am sorry, was the best I could stammer. No one replied. The words drifted into the air and died. I didn't realize, I started to say, but could not finish. Tears were streaming from my eyes. I bowed my head and began to sob. Then I heard, "Miss Doyle." I continued to cry. "Miss Doyle," came the words again. I forced myself to look up. It was Fisk, his countenance more fierce than usual. "Go to the captain," he said brusquely. "He is your friend." "He's not," I got out between my sniffling. "I want nothing to do with him. I hate him."